Well, I've written publicly about it, and I think it's the first time, like the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin, was indicated that he was going to vote no, and he said it was the first time he was saying how he was voting, and it's the first time, and I'm 58, that I've gone public and saying that I would vote actually yes in that referendum.
And yet, I mean, and you've gone public on that, and yet, you know, your religion, your Catholicism would be very important to you, and the line from the bishops is recommending no vote.
Yes, and it's not something that I've come to in a hurry. My ministry is actually in spiritual guidance, so at the heart of it is a process of discernment. So I have had to myself to go through a process of discernment, and the attitude and the decision I've made has been in the light of reflection and praying, reading, and meeting people, and ultimately that's where I am. But that's been a long journey before that. As I indicated, I'm now 58, and suddenly the issue for me first surfaced when I was about 17 and I was in college.
And I guess, as you say yourself, you're 58, back when you were in college, when you were 17, things would have been very different for gay people then.
Yes, and of course they weren't called gay people, they were homosexual, and I'm talking about 1973, 1974, it would be another 20 years before it would be decriminalized. But I met a young gay man in the chaplaincy in college here in Ireland, and as I was also reading some theology, and I think it started opening my mind that there was an issue, and there was an ethical issue, but I think to me it opened my mind to the homophobia and also the bias toward heterosexuality. The way I look upon it is that we have made heterosexuality the norm, as we had made men, the male, the norm as well. And as women were considered for a long time deficient males and were measured against the norm, which was the norm for the human being was a male, we also have made ourselves, those of us like me who are heterosexual, the norm, and had measured homosexual people or bisexual people against the norms that we've made. In a way, I think it's a form of idolatry, really.
In what sense? Why would you say idolatry? As in we're like almost worshipping a particular norm to the detriment of other norms?
Yeah, well, idolatry is making kind of a god. And I think just like what made, and still have to some extent in some of the things, made put the male at the center and the female was marginalized and discriminated against, we also have put heterosexuality as the center and marginalized others. And we've forgotten that the only one center is God, and that homosexual or heterosexual were not more godlike. Just like male or female, one is not more godlike than the other. And we therefore, by idolizing an idol of a certain form of sexuality, it may be the most common numerically, but it doesn't make it more godlike. We have disfigured the image of God and certainly not seen it in people who are not heterosexual. So it's a form of idolatry.
But regarding this referendum, I mean, a lot of people who are voting against it are saying that they don't necessarily have an issue with homosexuality per se. It's just that they feel that, you know, marriage and the family, it's about a mother and a father and the children that are born within that.
Well, if you marry somebody, and I think when Jesus quoted, you know, the male and female becoming one flesh, he wasn't excluding gay people. What he was talking is that in that context, the male and the female become one flesh, they become family. It's become as if the natal family. So it's become kin. That's what marriage is. You become family. Whether you have children or not, when you marry somebody, that person become your kin. Your next of kin moves. When I married Colum, my next of kin became Colum. Before it would have been my father. We are a family. We were a family before we had children. If we had no children, we would still be a family. And if our children were to die tomorrow, we would still be a family, Colum and myself. We have become kin. Whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, if you marry, your spouse becomes your kin. Yeah. That's the way I see marriage, yeah, and family. Okay. That's the heart of it. And that's what we are saying. Children may or may not come added to that family, but when two people marry, they create a family.
Yeah. But I suppose, can you see that people are worried that there may be complications, you know, because there will always be another person who's maybe not part of that family who is perhaps contributing to that family if that family are to procreate?
Well, at the moment, if we're talking about children being conceived outside a couple, being raised by that couple, that is a separate issue. And up to this moment, most of that has been happening with heterosexual people in and out of marriage. I mean, single people are raising children, so obviously they didn't procreate those children on their own, but yet you have a lot of single parents, and that is a reality. And whether there is a yes or no vote, that will continue, unless there's a huge number of that. But to me, it is a separate issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying that the issues are being muddied or the issues are being confused. But, you know, again, people will say that you can achieve equality without necessarily redefining what a marriage is.
My sense is that it's more refining what marriage is. Marriage is, to me, is founded on the love of two human beings. Now, it hasn't always been like that. For a long time, men and women married because women could contribute a womb, the ability to procreate, and as we know, it was very important, and if women couldn't bear children, we know they weren't fulfilling what was their obligation, seen like that. And also women were contributing housework. So for a long time, that was the foundation of what marriage is. Women were chattel and property. And then gradually, we have evolved and changed our understanding of marriage. Is the foundation for it is love, not the ability to bear children or to procreate. A lot of couples have no children for one reason or another. Couples can marry. My aunt and my uncle remarried when they were 80. Well, it was very important for them to be married. It was to affirm publicly their love for each other. It had nothing to do with having children. And their marriage was no less than mine with Colm. And my brother-in-law and sister-in-law don't have children. Their marriage is not less than ours. And gay people who marry, if they love each other, well, who am I to say that their marriage is less than mine? It's a long journey. It's of reflection and having studied also ethics and sexual ethics, and that's where I am at now. But yes, there is a shift from it. But, you know, when I hear, well, could there not be enough with, you know, civil partnership or anything, I hear a lot of the resonance of the way that women are treated as well. Well, wasn't it good enough for women to have that much? And why do they want more? We are very reluctant to grant full equality to others.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like it has evolved in a way from the sense that marriage in itself has redefined. I know a gay priest mentioned to me that the idea of homosexual marriage has almost been born out of the redefinition of heterosexual marriage.
Yes, I think as love has become more central and the relationship between spouses, has become, first and foremost, I love, say, my husband, because he's Colm. It's not because he's a man, first and foremost. It's a person whom I love. And that's where it is. And I can understand fully the love for two, you know, that gay people have. At the heart of it, we have more in common than we have separate. What we have in common is our humanity. We are human beings in the image of God, and we're capable of love and receiving love. And that, to me, is the foundation for the marriage. The procreation is secondary.